5 o'clock in the morning. Go.
Richie's a fool. Hi, guys. Welcome back to The Runoff. I'm Erica here with Richie, and this is how he behaves when he's had a little wine. It's good.
It is good.
It's good.
It is good.
Dude, you know when we were watching... What? When
I don't have a mic, so...
Yeah, but everybody can hear me because you're screaming at me.
Oh, sorry.
So, remember we were watching Insecure and Lawrence tells Condola to come over and he's like, I got the Josh. I was like, oh, Lawrence knows what's up.
Okay.
That's what I drink, guys. I drink Josh Legacy.
This podcast is sponsored by Josh
Legacy. I wish it was sponsored.
By Josh Legacy.
By anybody, really, but especially Josh, because I love me some Josh.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh. It's actually by Joseph Carr, but I don't know why it's called Josh. I don't know. Maybe it's like a family name or something.
Maybe it's his son.
Maybe it stands for like some good shit that has to do with the wine. I don't know. But it's delicious. Anywho, guys, we're still in quarantine. We're still in quarantine. And I have a confession. You guys can't tell anybody, but I love quarantine. I love it, man. I just love it. I love TV. I love movies. I love listening to other podcasts. I like music. I like not having to do anything. I like the freedom to just do what I want. Even if what I want means not shit. I like it, man. It's kind of awesome.
You gonna miss it?
I'm totally gonna miss it. I think that working since you're like a teenager and then pushing up on 40, it's just like no one gets a break like this. Like if you work in retail, your calendar's blacked out, right? So you don't get any holidays off, like ever. Like the only way you do is like if you like have Thanksgiving off, so you work Christmas or something like that. But like you're not going to your family's house for Thanksgiving. You're not going away for Christmas. You're not requesting New Year's Eve off. New Year's Eve off? Are you stupid? Like no. No, I mean, maybe if you worked it last year, but I just worked 2 New Year's days in a row, opened on New Year's Day, 2 years in a row. So, yeah, good times. Anywho, I'm not complaining about having a job. I love having a job. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a lazy person who just wants to sit home and live off of tax people's dollars. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, because we're doing it. It is cool. It has been cool for me, guys. Like, I just haven't hated it. That's all. We have to do it. It's like I'm saying, like, I want to, like, get fired from work and live off the government. I just mean, like, while we have to do it, I have not been mad. That is all. And plus, I'm being, like, a hero and, like, saving lives because I'm not, like, out every day going to parties and not wearing masks and, like, catching disease to spread. So like I'm a superhero for staying on my couch too. Richie, everybody knows you're here.
But I don't have a mic.
But they can hear you because you're yelling.
How do you know? They can barely hear me. But they can hear me.
Okay, well that's
fine.
Do
you want me to respond?
We don't have like a full on conversation.
Yeah, hero,
dude, I'm done with you. You can be quiet now. So anywho.
I could be your audience. Tell me when to clap. Tell me what it's all.
I mean, if I'm good, I shouldn't have to tell you those things. You should just, like...
I'm gonna miss quarantine, too.
I'm done. Right, BTW, he is an entrepreneur and he works for himself, so he doesn't have to clock in for anyone. Moving on. Guys, this episode... is about being your own best friend and about spending time alone and not just like not being sad about it, but loving it and realizing and recognizing how fucking dope this is that you get to do this, that you get to do this. Okay, so I often talk about being my own best friend because I have other friends who like to go on dates. I hate dating. That doesn't mean I'm not social. I'm very social. I love going out. I love meeting people. But I mean just the idea of like the game, you know what I mean? Like a guy asks you his number and then you're like, well, he's not going to call me for like 3 days because that's the game. And then he calls you and then it's like, sorry, he doesn't call you. He texts you because it's 2020 and that's what people do now. Like it's fucking okay. It's not okay with me, but it seems to be okay with everybody else. So then that's the game. And then you just have to like go along with it. So then they don't call, they text. So they finally text and, you know, it's like the normal bullshit questions like, oh, what's your favorite color? Like, I'm 36, really? But still, it's green. What's yours? You know, like.
I have something to say about that. I'm not sure. Gonna let you just diss us, guys.
I wasn't dissing guys.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I definitely wasn't dissing guys. Okay. I was saying that this is the game that everybody goes along with. Okay. Like, societal wise,
okay,
this is the way that dating is and this is how it goes.
Okay.
I'm an old lady and I'm not, this just doesn't spark things in me. Like, okay, you know, like that's just not how I want it to be. I want it to be like, I don't know, something funny happened and I thought of you and I called you. It's okay to call the day after you give somebody the number. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to wait this many days. You don't have to text a certain amount of time before you call. You don't have to, like, wait this amount of time before you actually go on a date. You don't have to have dates in specific places. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's all a game that I'm just, like, super not into. Anywho, when I feel like dating and I want to date, I do date. So it's not like I'm lonely and I'm just not dating because I don't want to, like, If I want to, I will. Anywho. So you guys know I have to run off. My point in saying all of that was I do often mention being my own best friend. And I think the trick to being, well, I shouldn't say the trick, but the reason why I love saying that I'm my own best friend is because when I am singular in life or when I am home unaccompanied, I don't actually feel alone. And the reason is because I'm with my best friend at all times, my best friend being me, myself, and I. Now, you guys have already heard an episode where I called Anita my best friend, and I often refer to Richie as my best friend, so I'm not saying I do not have friends. What I mean is the queen of all the best friends is me. I'm my very best friend first, and then I am able to befriend others, is what I'm trying to say. So, quarantine, you know, scrolling through Facebook and scrolling through Instagram, I saw people who were like struggling with being alone or like, oh, you know, I'm okay even though I'm quarantining alone. And I was just like, I was literally so happy when I woke up that first day that I struggled as hard as I did to live alone because I was like, I don't want to be fucking stuck in this house with somebody else. That just doesn't sound like a great idea to me. Now, I have a few friends in Boston who live together, and I think if I was in Boston, I would like to be quarantined with them just because I love them and they're a good time. And we've been stuck in the house for like blizzards and stuff like that before, and we had a good time. So I feel like if I still lived back home in Boston, I probably would have wanted to quarantine with them.
They actually said after this quarantine is over, divorce cases are going to go through the roof.
And that's sad, but that I don't think that's because of quarantine. I think if you have problems being locked up with the person that you already decided to spend the rest of your life with, you probably had problems already. Yeah, I mean, because for me, well, you've witnessed me before. I would go to the club like every night and then get into a relationship and be in the house. I just love like if I'm with someone, then I just love being with that person. Like that's just how I am. So, I mean, for me, I can't speak on if you're married for 20 years and then you get trapped in the house every day. I can't speak on that. Obviously, that's never been my scenario. But I think that if I was with someone right now, I could be trapped in the house, no problem. But I still like that that's not going to be an issue. You know, I actually do like being alone. I actually do love living alone. I think out of all the sacrifices in my life, the one that's paid off the most is everything that I sacrificed to get this apartment all by myself. So, yeah, I'm super happy with the decision that I made to do that. But getting into it, I just wanted to give you guys maybe some tips, some ideas on not necessarily quarantining alone, because everything's starting to open up. At least here in Miami, our restaurants open today with like a 25% occupancy. But, you know, things are starting to open back up. So this isn't necessarily for quarantine, but this is just ideas that I had year-round. And even if you have roommates, or even if you live with your parents, this is about time spent with yourself and maximizing on that. So there's a Sex and the City episode where Charlotte says to Carrie, "What if your friends are your soulmates?" And I'm totally misquoting, but it's like, what if your friends are your soulmates and these guys are just like these cool people who come along the way, you know, that you get to spend your life with, but your real soulmates are your friends. And I remember saying that to my best friend Anita that you guys heard in the past episode, that at the end of the day, things happen in all different kinds of relationships, but your friendships are relationships too. And you can value those just as much as you value some of the other relationships in your life. And I value my friendships like my family. And so when I thought of your best friend being your soulmate, I'm like, well, who should be your number one best friend? And that's yourself. You know, I think we often look for things in other people instead of looking for them in ourselves. You know, we always want somebody to balance us out. But in meditation, and for me through prayer, you can, you know, pray to balance that out, or meditate on those things that you need to repair in yourself to be a more balanced human being. I remember Jada Pinkett, I think it was during one of her Red Table talks, and she was saying that her and Will learned that when you are in a relationship, you are not supposed to make each other happy, that that's an unfair burden to place on someone, that you are supposed to love yourself and make yourself happy. And then you bring that happy, joy-filled person to your partner. And then you and your partner can share joy together. But you don't bring them a miserable-ass person and expect them to fix it. So for me, that was part of like being my own best friend, is balancing myself out, becoming the person that I would like to receive from someone else, because, you know, you attract what you put out into the universe, right? So if you want a certain kind of person, you should also learn to be that first so that you can attract that type of person. And I think part of my independence also comes from, you know, me being an 80s baby, I was a latchkey kid. You know, my mom went to school and she worked. And so I was often home alone. You know, I often had the key to my house, even in like first, second grade. I will say though, in first grade, like it was because my mom didn't have a car. We took the bus and train everywhere. So in first grade, it was more like we were getting home almost the same time. Like I didn't spend much time alone. And oftentimes I had a neighbor in the apartment above me who would see me getting off the bus and take me in. So I don't want to make it seem like I was 6 years old alone all day. That's not the case at all. I wasn't really alone until like maybe second, third grade. When I had to like walk up this big, huge hill by myself and then be in the house for a while until my mom got home. But anywho, I think that that's kind of where that independence maybe originally struck. I have an older sister. For people who are listening to this, like, what do you mean you were alone? She's older than you. How are you alone? When I was younger, my sister lived at my great grandmother. So I was not an only child, but I was the only one in the house for some years before she came and moved in with us. And I think that time spent alone, you know, hearing noises and being scared, or having to let myself in, you know, looking up on under all the beds and in the closets when you get yourself in the house, you know, you teach yourself to fight your fear, right? Because you have to go in the house. You have to wait for your mom in there. You can't just, like, be in the streets. So I think that helped, like, combat fear and just get used to being in the house alone. I feel kind of bad for these kids with, like, helicopter parents now. I mean, I get it. We've had, like, kids die in fires and, you know, horrible stuff has happened to some children when they're alone. I think that's a part of parenting, though, that you have to know your kid well enough to decide if you can leave them alone or not. I call myself a zennial because I was around so many Gen Xers that they've created this sub-generation where, like, if you're the earlier millennials to, like, 83 to, like, 86 or something like that, and you were raised and only around Gen Xers, like, there were no other children younger than you, so you didn't have that influence, they call you a zennial because you're born into being a millennial, but you're actually, based on how you were raised and what happened in your life, you are a Gen Xer. So I am a zennial because I'm a Gen Xer. I didn't have MySpace. I never had a computer. I didn't have internet. Like, I didn't know anything about video games and none of that. Like, some other people had them, but I didn't have them, you know? So, like, I definitely grew up as a Gen Xer. So point of being about that, you know, I have to run off a little bit, but point being about that is, like, this generation, I feel like they were never supposed to be alone, right? Like, they couldn't get the key to their house till they were, like, 13 or something like that. And even when they did, they, like, had a mom who came home, like, an hour later or something. Like, I didn't grow up like that. I was alone by myself a lot. And I feel like, also, maybe it's just because I don't have that many children in my life, but I also feel like sleepaway camp isn't really a thing anymore. Like, I never hear anybody saying, like, oh yeah, you know, my niece went away for 2 weeks for camp. Like, I had to go away for 2 weeks every summer for camp. So, like, I had to, like, be in situations and places where I had to be kind of independent, you know? Like, I had to live in a cabin with people I did not know and then try to make friends with them. Like, I had to be very independent from a very young age. So I won't make excuses. Like, I mean, I will, I guess what I'm trying to say is I can kind of excuse how some people are like, I can never imagine living alone and I can never imagine going to places alone. So it's like, even though I was a middle child, I still had that experience of being an only child. I have other friends now who I know were the younger ones. They always had older siblings around or they had stay-at-home moms. They didn't have to experience anything alone ever. You know, they went from their mom's house to roommates or to a boyfriend or, you know, they never had to experience any alone time. And so when they think about doing things like going out to restaurants alone or going to the movies by themselves, they're like, how could you ever do that? Like, how do you do that? So I won't pretend like I just do these things because I just want to. It's also because it's not weird to me. So I will include that. I don't want to make it sound like I don't know what's wrong with these people who don't go out. I mean, low-key, I don't get it. But I do understand that I had an advantage of being alone for a very long time and kind of growing up being alone. So, anywho, that's my advantage on the matter, I guess you could say. One thing I did do in the house, you know, even now, but especially at an early age, I read a lot. I read so much. I'll never forget. I don't think it was 94.5. I think it was the station that we listened to before 94.5. Because this was like early 90s. But I remember the radio station that I listened to, and it was like one of the DJs that we were kids, we only knew DJs by their voice. No one ever saw their faces. There was no Instagram. There was no internet. If you listened to the radio and you heard somebody, you just had to imagine what they looked like. You did not see them. So I remember we went to the library and this DJ that was, from the hottest like radio station at the time was there, and they did like a thing at the library for kids where he would read some books. They would call some kids up to read like books with them, and I got called. And then I got called because I was at the library so much that some of the librarians and stuff knew me, because I learned to read when I was like 3 or so. So my mom, it was like something free to do. So my mom always took me to the library. But anywho, the DJ ended up asking like trivia questions, and I was the only one raising my hand for all the questions. And I remember it was WILD. I just remembered. It was WILD. That was the radio station. And I remember that because I just remembered what I won, which was a pair of WILD sunglasses. I got sunglasses and I got a visor, and I gave my mom the visor because I'm a good kid. And so I remember answering all the questions, and they were just like, yeah, she's here a lot. Because the DJ like looked around like, what? Like, I think he was like, nobody's going to get this. And I was like, I remember the one that I got that everybody was like so shocked about was like, how many books can you check out at a time? And everybody's like, 4, 6. And I was like, 52. And they're like, yeah, that's right. And I was like, they were just looking at me like, how does this 9-year-old kid know that you can check 52 books out of a library? And honestly, I think it's because we were there so much. My mom would study for school, so she'd check out like 8 books. And then I check out like 4 books. And I think I just was probably like, well, how many books can we take? We always leave here with a ton of books. I actually knew that. But anywho, these are some things that you can do when you're alone. You can read. And although I love to read for fiction, sometimes when I'm alone, my head starts to wander and I start thinking about things like, do I want to go back to school? Do I want to try podcasting? Do I want to learn more about African-American history? And so as much as I do love a good fiction book, I also think it's good to read nonfiction, to read self-help, to read mental health, to read books about finance, to read books about business, just reading books that can better your life. There's a lot of books out there that tell you like tips on how to do your taxes, how to invest in the stock market. There's all sorts of kind of things that we wish we knew how to do, but we don't know even who to ask, because who really knows these things off the top of their heads if they're working an everyday blue-collar type job? How many people know these other things that can like possibly bring you extra streams of income, or, you know, maybe just satisfy your brain to get their gears working? Because even if it's, say, it's something that you would probably never do, if you work a job that you do the same thing every day and it gets redundant, it is nice to just get your gears turning, you know, just to get them thinking. I read this book years ago called Blink, and it was about the adaptive adaptive subconscious. And it was fascinating because, I don't know, like, I work in retail again. So, like, have you ever had to, like, pick up a stack of bills and you pick up exactly the 25 that you needed? What's crazy about that is working in retail, right? When you look at the ones, they're usually in bundles of 25. So you pick up that bundle every day. Your brain actually puts in your subconscious how much a dollar bill weighs. And your brain ends up figuring out how to pick up exactly 25. And this is something you don't know. But in your subconscious, your brain has adapted to doing that every day, and it has taught you that. I just thought that was absolutely fascinating. It also talked about how like different ball players could stand in a single spot and make the shot every time. And what happens is your brain actually knows the degrees and angles that it takes for your height to jump in a certain spot and get that ball in that hoop. Even if you learn it by muscle memory or whatever, your brain still, through your adaptive subconscious, will teach you that. And I just thought that was fascinating. I'm never gonna like do anything with that, you know what I mean? Like, but it was funny because years later, when I got the job that I work at now, my manager likes to put those bills in packs of 20. And I would always pick it up and never get the right amount. And I'm like, I used to be cool with this. Like, what happened? And then I remembered my brain knows how much a pack of $25 bills is. my brain has no idea what 20 is. So after working there for like probably over a year, I finally picked up a stack and it was 20. And I was like, haha, my brain is learning. But anywho, I like books on fiction and nonfiction. These are just some things you can do to better yourself, to pass the time, to be alone and be satisfied and be happy. I mean, I'm lucky enough to be in Miami where I can go to the beach a lot. So I often take a book with me. I usually take a book with me. Why? Because I'm always alone. I take a book because there's no one there to talk to. So either I'm listening to my podcast or I'm reading a book. Sometimes I just listen to music, but usually I'm doing one of those two. So besides reading, another thing I like to do is take myself out. Now, I was originally going to say take myself out on dates, but that sounds like pressure. I mean, I do take myself out on dates, but I just said take myself out because that's usually what I end up doing. I feel like a date is like pressure. It sounds like pressure. Like, I have to get dressed up and go out alone. It's like, you don't have to do that. When I say I go out and I take myself out, I just mean like after work, I go to happy hour sometimes. I don't need to wait for other people. I don't need to go out with other people. I'm the type of person who typically doesn't sit in the house. And I think that's because I live in Miami where it's like beautiful out. And so everybody's always outside. I don't mind being in the house with myself, but I do take advantage of my situation. The reason why my rent is so much money is because I live on South Beach. So I'm going to hang out on South Beach. So if I get off of work, one of my good friends that I live with, I mean, that is here in Miami, I actually work with, and I do the opening shifts and he does the closing shifts. So if I want to go to happy hour right after work, if I'm not going alone, it might not happen. Also, I have a lot of other friends who are in retail. And if you know anything about retail, we don't have 9-to-5s. Every single week is a different schedule. It's not like every Monday I work this or every Sunday I work this and every Wednesday I have off. No, that's not the case in retail. Every week you have a different shift. So to try to hang out with people at the spur of the moment, like, oh, I had a really bad day, I just want to get a drink after work, have a glass of wine, you might not ever find somebody to do that. You'll probably have to always make plans if you don't want to be out by yourself. And that's just not who I am. Like, I like to do what I want to do. So if I want to go get a drink after work by myself, I'm going to do that. If a new restaurant just opened and I've been dying to try it and I had to work that day and my friends went without me, guess what? The next time I'm off, I'm going to go. And if it's by myself, then it just happens to be by myself. I just don't wait on other people to do what I want to do. The plus side to that I really love is going to the movies by myself. And I've heard a lot of people say, like, that's a tough one. Like, don't you want to enjoy it with someone? Don't you want to talk about it after the show? The reason why I went to the movies by myself for the first time, actually, I had wanted to do it. I had been meaning to do it just to try it. But it ended up happening because a movie came out that I really wanted to see, and I just didn't see anyone else I knew wanting to see it. I didn't think anybody I knew would want to see it. I was like, no one's, it just wasn't up my friend's alley. Like, maybe if it was a movie that we could buy at the store or rent or something, because I don't think Netflix was around at the time. Maybe if it was something like that, you know, they would watch it, but I didn't think anybody was going to want to go to the movies and actually see it. And that movie was Juno. Juno was a movie with Ellen Page and Michael Cera. They were two teenage white suburban kids, not your typical in the hood girl gets pregnant movie. They were those kids who felt like this shouldn't happen to us. As a matter of fact, I think it was, actually, looking back on the movie, I'm not 100%. It was her first time, but it was definitely his first time. And, dude, to get pregnant when you lose your virginity, that sucks, man. It's, like, over before it started. But anyway, it looked like a great movie. I was curious about it. I really wanted to see it. I'm also a person who likes different kinds of music. And that was like a type of music that I had never really ventured to. Like, in listening to other things and watching all different kinds of movies, when you listen to a soundtrack, you know, when you're watching a movie and you hear soundtracks, you hear different kinds of movies. But like, to actually hear straight up, I don't know, even know what you would call it, like folk and folky pop kind of music, I really liked the soundtrack. So I was like, I know no one's going to want to see this. I'm just going to go see it. And after that, it was like over. I had no problem really doing anything by myself from that point forward. And at that time, I was also living in Boston. So wherever I went, even if I was going to hang out with friends or meet friends, I had to get on the bus and train by myself. So it's like, being by myself wasn't foreign to me, but it was in the long run important to me. There's so many situations in life where you have to do things alone. And if you're constantly used to doing things with other people and having other people make decisions in the moment, like, oh, I'm with a group of friends, they'll figure out where to eat, they'll figure out where to go, they'll figure out the vacation. It's like, if you don't do any of these things on your own, it's going to be harder and harder in the long run to make these kind of decisions for yourself. And then one day you wake up realizing that, you know, you actually did want to go to Spain, but everybody said Italy, and that's where you went instead. Or you actually did want to see that movie, but then everybody saw it while you were at work, and by the time it came on Netflix, you didn't want to watch it by yourself, and everybody had already seen it, so you don't ever get to see it. And then it's super old, and everybody's like, how did you not see that? So then you really don't have anybody to watch it with. But yeah, I mean, start early. You know what I mean? Start now. Don't say like, oh, like, I really want to go to the gym by myself, but I think I should lose like 10 more pounds and then I won't be self-conscious when I'm in there because I just don't want to go now because I'm too. Just do it. Just do it, because then you're just going to wait and wait and wait, and then you're going to put on more weight. And then what if you never end up going to the gym because now you're even bigger and you have to go by yourself? You know, it's like, something can always stop you. Something can always get in the way. But if you're determined to do it alone, then not much can stop you. You know what I mean? You probably won't get into your own way. Another thing I suggest is, like, during this time, especially in quarantine, like, reconnecting with old friends, you know, reaching out. I had a best friend for many, many, many years, like 20 something years, and we just kind of lost touch. And her little brother recently reached out to me, and I was just like, wow, like, it was just so amazing to see him as an adult when I just remember him being so little and as a kid and like wanting to follow us around and do everything with us. And I think reconnecting is super important. Like, you also don't want to lose touch with the outside world. You know, like, if you have family that maybe you kind of only see when you're at your dad's house, you know, like, all the family goes to your dad's house and you see that one aunt and that's like the only time you see her, like, maybe reach out. You know, maybe she's alone, or maybe she's wondering how you're doing because you're alone. I also choose this time to kind of get in touch with my spirit. That's me. I'm like a spiritual person. By definition, I guess I would be considered a Christian. I don't get too wrapped up in religion. I think that my spirituality, having just forming a relationship with my quote unquote father, is more important to me than following the rules of a religion. That's just for me. If that's what works for you, you know, more power to you. But I have found this time to really get in touch with my spirit. I think waking up for work and doing things that you have to do every day, you start to go with emotions, and we, in our human nature as humans, like, we just make the best of a situation. So for me to get in touch with my spirit was super important during this time, because it was time where I don't have to go with emotions. I don't have to, like, I don't have to go to the grocery store as much as I did because I'm dieting, I'm eating a little bit less, I'm working out, and so I just have less to do every day, is what I'm trying to say. I don't have to go to work, you know. I don't have to do a ton of laundry, because let's be honest, like, who's getting dressed up every day? Even those people on Zoom are like just putting on a nice shirt in their underwear, you know what I mean? Like, we're not going crazy, you know. I'm not going to Sephora every other day because I ran out of eyeliner or mascara or something else that I so desperately need for my face. So this time alone in the house has just been like a great time to just reconnect with my spirit. It's a good time to, like, if you've never meditated and you don't know if it works for you, it's a good time to try it. It's a good time. Like, YouTube has everything, guys. I bought like an exercise bike not too long ago, and there's spin classes on YouTube for free, and they kick your ass. I took a 45-minute class that had my legs feeling like jello. I was drenched in sweat. My bike was covered in sweat. Like, literally had to grab Clorox like I was at the gym and wipe my bike down. Like, I had to put a yoga mat under my bike because it was sliding across the floor because I was jumping up and down on that thing. Like, they work you. So just because you can't get into a gym doesn't mean you can't work out. You know what I mean? I've been working out quite a bit. I joined the Fit On app again. Unfortunately, I'm not sponsored. Fit On, if you want to sponsor me, I will praise you all day, every day. That app has been a saving grace. I've lost 10 pounds during quarantine because it's not just all working out. Obviously, you have to, you know, eat well. I don't like to say diet because that sounds too restricting, but you have to eat well. I've been eating pretty well. And, you know, every week they give you like 4 or 5 workouts and you do them every week. There's cardio, there's HIIT, there's Pilates, there's yoga, there's everything. Gabrielle Union's on it. She gives you advice and stuff like that. And it's free. Like, if you want to go further in it, they have more options that you can pay for. But you can totally do it. I mean, I know a lot of us are out of work right now. You can totally do it for free. And one of the joys of being able to be a sweaty, disgusting mess in the house is that I live alone. You know, I can't stress enough how great that is. There was a point in my life where I thought that I was going to go from a family member's house that I was living with to my significant other's place, and then I was going to get an apartment on my own just to say I tried it and then like move in with the love of my life or something. You know what I mean? Like, there was a time where I didn't even know if living alone was going to be like a long-term thing or if it was just going to be like, this is just a little pit stop before me and my husband live happily ever after. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be, but it was the best decision I ever made. One thing that I've been doing since I live alone during quarantine is decluttering. You know, Marie Kondo, spark joy or get out. Like, and you can do that with lots of things in your life. I've already touched on that, so we won't get back to that. But yeah, I've decluttered my closet, which I need to do again because I can be a bit of a hoarder. Literally, for me to clean out my closet is a 5-step thing. I have to go in there, clean it out, go in there, clean it out, go in there, clean it out. Because my maybe pile gets way too big and it all goes back into my closet. And then I'm like, you know, you weren't a maybe. You did not spark me joy. You gave me a little tinge of a memory of a time that was almost happy, but you did not spark joy. Get out of my closet. That's how it is for me. I have to go do it a ton of times before I can say it's actually complete. So I decluttered my closet. I decluttered my cabinets. Let me tell you something. If you are a single woman, you do not need 86 Rubbermaid containers in your cabinet for your leftovers. You don't need it. You don't need it. First off, this brings me to the next thing about learning how to cook. If you are cooking, learn how to make food for one person. I paused on that. Did you guys notice that? That was so that could like sit in your brain. Make food for one person. Because let me tell you something that I know you're doing. You're doing something that I did, which was I'm going to make pasta for 3 days because I'm a working lady and I'm going to eat leftovers and I don't have time. Guess what? You really love pasta Alfredo. You love it so much that you're going to sit there and you're going to eat it all in one night. Stop it. Stop doing that. Make portions for one and eat that one portion. Let me tell you something that I have learned. One cup of pasta goes a long way. I know it sounds crazy. You think I'm insane. You think I'm skinny. You think I'm anorexic. You think I don't know what I'm talking about. I am a girl who can eat. I am a girl who loves pasta. Whenever I pat my pot belly, I say pasta pino pizza. That's what I say every time. Don't shake your head no at me, Richie. I don't care if they know that I have a pot belly. You know why? Because I have a pot belly. Okay? We're going to be honest here today. We're going to be honest. Pasta, pizza, Pinot. Let me tell you something. Ease it up. Ease it up on the pasta. That one, trust me, tonight, try it. You think I'm crazy, try it. Take out a cup of pasta, one cup, and make it. You will be surprised. I was hella surprised. Maybe you're not surprised. Maybe you're like, I'm not a fat ass. I don't eat like that. I am. I make a whole box, and I eat that bitch. I can eat that bitch in one sitting. Anywho, like I said, decluttering, learn to cook. The best thing about learning to cook when you live alone is that you can burn shit. You can burn shit all the time. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Oh my gosh, this pie is amazing. They don't need to know you burned the first six. They don't need to know the apples were so soggy it was inedible. You know, just keep trying. Do your best. It'll come out fantastic sooner or later. Also, cook with the windows open. Do not set off the fire alarm and make everybody leave the house. I didn't do that, but I had to leave the house. Why? Because some assholes keep coming in the house at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk off their asses trying to cook. And every time the smoke alarm goes off, instead of opening up the window, they open up the door. So don't do that. Burn food. It's fine. You'll get better. Open the window. Anywho, my other little tidbit of advice is, I didn't even want to bring this up because I think that being by yourself and living alone doesn't have to be about, I'm so sad I'm single, but I also can't go past the obvious. And I know a lot of people are thinking like, what if I end up alone? I don't want to end up alone. Okay. Well, one thing you can do while you're alone is evaluate your past relationships. It also goes back to the self-help books I was talking about. Maybe go back and see what your part was in anything that could have, you know, maybe anything that you missed, even if you weren't necessarily to blame in the relationship. Maybe you were a saint and you did nothing wrong, but maybe there were a ton of red flags that you could have caught before you loved and cared about this person enough for them to break your heart or, you know, disturb your peace in the way that they did. That's one thing that I often do. I mean, I do that. Like I said, I end up being alone a lot. So I do that kind of immediately. Like as soon as I'm broken up with someone, like I'm just like, okay, I'll take my time to be sad. And then I'm like, okay, where were the signs? Where did I go wrong? How do I avoid this in the future? Another piece of advice, I think I got this from like Cosmo years and years ago before I even lived by myself. And I think it was either maybe in one of those things like, I know I used to always read those like things to do before 30, but I think it was in one of those lists of like things to do before you're married or things to do before you're settled down or something like that. And it said like, you know, when you move in with a significant other, and this is for like those cisgendered relationships, maybe not necessarily, being in a relationship with anyone actually, you have to compromise. You have to compromise on how the bedroom's going to look, how the living room's going to look. You know, somebody's favorite color could be chartreuse. And you're like, you're not putting a chartreuse couch in my house. That could actually be funny. But anywho, you have to compromise when you live with someone. And the article that I read was basically like, go pink, go purple, go sparkle crazy, go glitter galore, put sequins on everything. But basically what it was saying is, while you have this time that you don't have to compromise, do whatever the hell you want in your house. And I love that idea. You know, I have what's considered like masculine taste when it comes to decor. But I bought a couch secondhand and I'm staring at it and I've been wanting to get it reupholstered. I know it's crazy expensive. Most people say to get it reupholstered, you may as well just buy a new couch. But I actually really love this one and I bought it for nothing. I mean, I was looking online and all the couches that I saw that looked identical to this were between $700 and $1,200. I bought it for $75. So I'm thinking it might be worth it to get it reupholstered. And when I was looking around, I actually think light pink is really pretty for this couch. Like the shape of it, the roundedness on it. I thought that getting it upholstered pink would be dope. Like, who has a pink couch? It's not even something that, you know, pink isn't a color that I'm crazy about. Green's my favorite color. But when I saw some pink couches, I was just like, there was something really like sophisticated about it that look kind of like a neutral, but how many men are going to be okay with you getting a pink couch and putting it in a house that you share? So I thought that was a cool idea, and that's something that I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to, is decorating with more of a quote-unquote girly aesthetic. Yeah, guys, I think that's pretty much it. I will close you with something that I love to do. I would suggest you put down maybe a throw blanket or maybe your robe on the couch. I am naked. Just a fact. I'm naked all day, every day in my house. I come home and often I'm going to work out, or I'm going to shower, or I'm going to put on my PJs. But before that, I'm just like, take off the clothes from work and you're alone. Like, you don't have to put anything back on. Just like, let your jelly jiggle. You know what I mean? Let your thighs rub. Like, you have a whole day of sucking it in, putting your hair up nice. Like, take your ponytail out, shake it out, and just be free. Take that time where you can't always do that. Like, even if you get married, you know, he might have friends come over, or maybe he's not comfortable enough with his body to want, for like, maybe you being naked all the time would make him uncomfortable. Like, he feels like maybe he has to be naked, or he's just like, can you put on a robe or at least some underwear or something? I am naked. I am free. That's how I like to be. And while I live alone, I'm going to do it till the fucking wheels fall off. Okay. But anywho, I hope you guys got something out of this. Like, I really enjoy being my own best friend, because loving yourself enough first means that you have love to give everybody else. And befriending yourself first means that you never count or rely on other people. People can't hurt you to the depths that they often do if you had someone closest to you already, which is you. You know what I mean? So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to The Runoff, and protect your energy.